you. Once again, it certainly is a privilege to be able to be here and share the greatness of God's Word. I want to send my greetings to all the CD subscribers and those folks who are listening to the CD. Hello, Al. Thank you so much for doing Children's Fellowship this morning. I know you're doing a great teaching up there. You know, years ago when they did the gold rush times, remember that? That California is very famous for the gold rush. A lot of people came from other parts of the country because they figured they had a pretty good opportunity to make some money, gold. And as part of that process, those individuals would come to those areas, they would, what we would call, stake a claim. That was also true for homesteaders, like when the Sooners, you know, the sooner you got there, the sooner you got your land, right? That's where that whole thing came from. So if you ever wanted to know where the Oklahoma Sooners came from, that's what that's all about. And so, I thought it'd be really neat this morning, maybe, is for us just to look at some great things, be reminded of some wonderful truths from God's Word, and then our ability to really stake a claim on those things from God to us. And that's what we really have to do. We have to claim those things to make them our own. They're available. But how do we get those things out of this Bible and into practical living reality in our day-by-day living? That's really one of the great quests and challenges of what we do day-by-day. But first of all, I'd like to have a look at a verse in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So we have a great thing to be able to stake our claim on. And we really do have to get in there. And sometimes we not only have to stake that claim, we have to fight our enemy who's trying to come in there and take that claim away from us, take our land from us, take our what's rightfully and legally ours. We've got a thief, and that's what a thief does. He comes in and he takes, either by force or intimidation, using a gun sometimes or whatever, to take something that doesn't legally and rightfully belong to him. So we have to claim what's legally and rightfully ours as sons of God. There are a lot of things that we can claim that legally and rightfully belong to us. But I want to look at initially here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And I'll have Todd, if you'd stand and read that, please. And I think what I'd really like to communicate this morning is one of the greatest claims that we can lay hold of is the love of God. Is that we are the greatest loving entity that has ever been in existence upon the face of the earth. You know, Jesus Christ was a walking, talking, love beacon. And, you know, I think part of it for us is just keeping in perspective and being mindful of the realities of who we are moment by moment, day by day, and that our nature and the quality of life that we live and the claim that we have is not determined by any outside forces. It's determined by what God's Word says about us. And so that's what I really like to look at briefly here this morning, is that we stake our claim to love. Because that's truly who we are. That's truly the nature that's been born within us at the time of the new birth. We have a love nature born within us. Look in 1 John chapter 3. And boy, what a great reality. What a great vision, what a great perspective to be able to have the heart to be desirous to keep that in mind during our waking moments. You know, you'll never be wrong if you're walking in love. And what a great assurance that is to our hearts. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Another version of that verse says, "Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called children of God. And that is not just what we are called, but what we are." It's just not something we're called as sons of God. It's the reality of who we are. This explains why the world will no more recognize us than it recognized Christ. Here and now, my dear friends, we are, let's say that together, we are God's children. We are God's children. We don't know what we shall become in the future. We only know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As he is. See, we don't understand all there is that's coming in the future. We see a glimpse of it through what knowledge of God's word we have. But this truth of God's word says that when Christ returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But in the here and now, what manner? It says, consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to not only just be called to children and sons of God, because that's not just what we are called, it's literally who we are. It's who we are. Because of God's great love. You talk about staking a claim to something? How about we just stake a claim to the fact that God loves me no matter what? God loves me no matter what. No matter what my checkbook says, no matter how yucky I feel, or whatever may be going on, the truth and the reality of the situation is God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. You know, in Galatians 5:6, that verse that Todd read, it says that faith worketh by love. You know, love energizes believing. Love energizes believing. They asked Jesus, "What are the greatest two laws and the commandments?" You know what he said? "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as what? Yourself." Yourself. Love energizes believing. We must stake a claim to who we rightfully and legally are as sons and daughters of God. Our thief is trying to take over territory that does not belong to him legally. So you know what you must do? You must stake a claim. You must say, "I claim what God's word says about me," in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and we are." See. Look in 1 John chapter 4. What a great thing to lay claim to. Because you know what? It's really something, because if we don't understand and really believe and get focused and sort of apply the reality of God that loves us, we could easily become afraid. And we become afraid of punishment because of our actions. And it says so in 1 John chapter 4. In verse 18, says there is no fear in what? There's no fear. None. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Living Bible translation says we need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it's for fear of what he might do to us and show that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. Love contains no fear. Indeed, fully developed love expels every particle of fear, for fear always contains some of the torture of feeling guilty. The man who lives in fear has not yet had his love perfected. You know, and there's just that desire for your hand to kind of want to go up and say, that's me. Because, you know what, we've all felt guilty at times. Well, the antidote to guilt is more love. Every man is basically God hungry. Every man has a great desire to want to not only be loved, but also to be able to give love. There is no fear. This is the Revised Standard. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. In love there can be no fear. This is the Jerusalem Bible. In love there can be no fear, but fear is driven out by perfect love, because to fear is to expect punishment. And anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. Let's go back to chapter 4. Let's go back to verse 2. Verse 4, I mean. I don't know if you ever get a chance to look at these different types of Bibles. This particular version has 8 in 1. So it's like all laid out there in one, just right across the page. But it really gives a different sense, a little different type of expanded understanding and meaning than maybe just the King James Version alone. And kind of fun to be able to read those at times. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to have Rachel stand up. Can you read that, Rachel? Mm-hmm. Amen to that, huh? They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us what? Love one another. You know, the real ability to do that is based on your ability to love yourself with the love of God. To see past your own frailties, your own weaknesses, your own temptations, your own yuck. See? To really genuinely be able to love yourself with the love of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is what? Love. You can't put God in a test tube. You can't analyze it scientifically. God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And that we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? Love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwells in where? In God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're those beacons of light. We're those beacons of love. Everywhere we go, every conversation we're in, every person we meet, it's Christ. He's in us. There's no fear in love. When we really get to the point where we really believe God loves us, fear is gone. Because it's not based on us. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. So we got something great to really stake a claim in, the love of God. And the fact that God really loves us. We're his kids. Nothing that we can do that's going to change that. So we really learn to enjoy that and realize that love energizes our believing. That's something we want to get bigger and better at, right? Well, if love energizes believing, then maybe it'd really be a cool thing to understand more about love. And then as we become and excel at love, our believing is energized. I want to close in Romans chapter 12 this morning. I did really want to try to keep this as simple as possible, I think, and just that we can stake a claim on something that God has woven throughout his word. And I know it gets sometimes complex and confusing and analytical and all these other things, but you know what? The bottom simple line is woven throughout this word of God is God's love. God's love. It doesn't depend upon how our feelings are going up and down. It's what God's word is really setting it as a great standard. And we've got that new spirit, that love nature now born within us and the potential to love like Jesus Christ did. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A couple other versions say, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. If we're looking to the world for love, we're looking in the wrong place. There's no answers out there. Philip says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. Thus you will prove in practice that the will of God is good and acceptable to him and perfect. Let's not let the world tell us what we're going to do, mold us into its own way of doing things. We've got the Spirit of God in Christ within us, a great nature of love. Today's English version says, do not conform outwardly to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. Do not model yourselves on the behavior of the world around you, but let your behavior change, modeled by your new mind. This is the only way to discover the will of God and know what is good and what it is that God wants and what is the perfect thing to do. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And what a great place to start by staking a claim on how much God loves you and how much God desires for you and all of us to walk in love. Amen? Okay, Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of opening these scriptures, Father, that mere human words, I don't think, can adequately describe the spiritual realities of what we know. But, Father, this Word of God just speaks to our hearts, and may we humble ourselves before you, Father, to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. May our perspective increase. May our vision rise, Father, as we walk forward, realizing who we are as your men and women in this world, and that we can shine brightly as beacons of hope. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? Okay. Bless you.